Today on VFN TV, we have John Newland. We're continuing the interview with John Newland. These amazing life stories, life-changing stories. Yes, he's a businessman, he's a believer, but listen, his life has been majorly impactful. As a matter of fact, check it out.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So I catch this fish and I bring him up to the top and I walk down the catwalk and bring him around and I get down on my boat. And so the name of the story is Have Your Cake and Eat It Too.
Right.
All right, so now I get down the boat, I walk over and I cut a hole in the Goliath grouper's lip and tied him off, and I could rest because now I had him.
Because he's hanging in the water.
He's hanging in the water where okay. He's in the water. So I decide now I'm gonna try to pull him in. I lift him up to the edge and I couldn't even begin to get him over.
Into the boat.
Okay. And I looked around for another boat. I thought I could ask for help, but I was just too proud to ask for help.
What?
And I thought, the Lord's delivering me daily from crying. All right, so I thought, in my own mind, I'm a MacGyver. And so usually there's a way you can rig something to do something.
Right.
So I thought, what do I have here? Well, I thought if I had a handle, maybe that would help me. So I thought up underneath the front of the boat, I had a ski rope. In those days, I had a wooden handle, and then it came down to one piece of rope. And I thought, if I could tie that rope through that lip and then stand up on the side, which is called the gunwale.
Okay.
And I got up on the side of the boat and I lifted and I lifted and I lifted, and right when I couldn't get him over again.
Right
when he started coming over, my feet slipped out from under me.
Oh no.
And I fell about 3 feet onto my back. Well, that knocked the wind out of me, but then here comes that Goliath grouper.
Oh no.
And I don't know if you can see it in that picture, but they've got spines on the back, and every one's as big around as your small finger and sharp.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so here he came, and thank goodness those didn't hit me, but the side of the fish hit me in the chest, and it knocked the breath totally out of me.
How big is it?
I believe this one was about 100 pounds, which is not huge, but
it still
was 100
pounds. Actually, you write in the book, I think you're 14 when this is going on.
I'm not very big at 14. Wow. So I'm laying on the bottom of the boat just trying to get my breath. It took me, it seemed like 10 minutes. And finally, I crawled over and I peeked over the gunwale because I was embarrassed if anybody had seen what happened.
Goodness.
And thank goodness, nobody saw me. So
This is huge because I think about Steve Irwin, you know, the crocodile hunter, you know, that he was swimming in stingray.
Right.
I believe it was hundreds of times. His cameraman says that according to one of the articles about him, that the piercing parts of they shoot off the back of their tail, the stingray, if you call it, but they shot into his heart.
Right.
That's how he died.
Right.
You have this huge 100-pound Goliath grouper falling on your chest. You could have died at that moment if those things would have went inside of you.
It could have, but life's a risk. So here's what I say, okay? Sometimes you'll have something and you're satisfied with it.
Right.
But if you're willing to give it up, okay,
You
may get something better. Take a little risk and sow a seed like that. So I had my cake and I ate it too. I had the redfish and the jewfish.
How did you have the both? How did you have the redfish and the grouper?
The Goliath grouper's got such a big mouth and gullet.
Right.
He actually had live blue crabs in there.
Oh my
goodness.
But
he also had a redfish that I had used for bait.
So that's where you get the title of the
Have Your Cake and Eat It Too.
So you didn't lose the redfish.
I didn't lose the redfish, whatever.
So many people are worried about risking what they have. And there's measured risk, there's thought out risk, and there's things called crapshoots. But faith is about risk.
It is.
It's about trusting God. You know, if what you have in your hand does not meet your need, potentially, what you have in your hand is your seed.
Right.
And for this 100-pound Goliath grouper, I mean, that redfish was your seed to be able to get this 100-pound, and then God not only gave you the grouper, but He gave you actually the redfish back.
Right.
That's awesome, man. It applies in business and life, and some people are scared to take a risk, but the reality, you get stuck if you don't do that.
Right.
You never go to this place. This is a powerful story, and it's incredible. 14 years old, I mean, this is so, I don't know, a lot of people don't know Flipper and all these different things that we know about in our journey from television in the past, but you're just like that guy, you know, you're like that guy that, uh, that
that I'm truly, just an ordinary guy.
Yeah, but it's pretty, you know, you're the man's man. I think you're like the man's man. So taking that risk is important. Also, you also talk about, you know, it may take work and a little boldness to do something, and that it may take your breath away.
Right.
But go for it because it's your heritage.
Right.
Right? What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm trying to actually say that to my heritage.
Oh, okay.
To go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it. Take a risk and go for it.
And boldness. You're talking about boldness.
Yes. Yeah, the Lord wants us to be bold. Be bold as a lion.
Right. So how would you describe boldness as somebody who's going to be boldness in their life? And because some people think arrogance and just mowing people over is boldness. But that's arrogance and mowing people over. So what does boldness look like for a man?
Well, for me now, it's being bold enough that if I believe I've heard the Lord, then to step out and do it.
Right.
That's a boldness.
Right. That's good. That's very good. And if you're doing your job, do it with boldness, right?
Right.
If you're married, you know, be the man, be the husband, be the father with boldness. So many men are paralyzed by just, it's just life's difficult. You feel like you've made a lot of mistakes. And so he may sit quietly in the house and not say much, but he's almost defeated in his own mind. But the Lord told me very specifically that he's going to break all generational curses and cycles of judgment that have kept you paralyzed and sterile in the midst of the family. Listen, you're so important that entire society has been trying to come against you and to snuff you out as a man. That's how important you are. The one thing the Lord said in the last days, he said in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, that before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, that he would send Elijah and he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, or else he'll smite the earth with a curse. And so the Lord has an option right now that you can turn your heart to him and that you're so important. You know, I think about, John, that so many people are trying to get over words that their fathers spoke because the fathers didn't realize how powerful those words were, which means they could have spoke something else. Listen, we've got to go to a break. We're going to be right back and continue this amazing interview with John Newland.
We'll be right back. The Battle of Gettysburg in July 1863 was an attack by Confederate troops on the North on their own soil. General Lee's plan was to win, thereby discouraging the Union in continuing. His plan failed, and it became the turning point in the Civil War.
4 months later, Lincoln delivered his Gettysburg Address. It took only 2 minutes to deliver, but it's considered one of the most stirring speeches in American history.
And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
The Gettysburg Address has biblical themes throughout, from such books as John 3 and Psalm 90.
Lincoln later said, "In regard to this great book, I can only say it is the best gift which God has ever given man."
Experience the book that shapes history by visiting motb.tv. Take part in viewing this historic short film campaign by interacting with the film.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not in temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power and the glory,
forever and ever.
I want to invite you to VFN Dream Center Church. Listen, we love family. We're focused around reaching the world. But most of all, we just want to be able to honor God and connect with people who want to honor God.
Are you looking for a family? Are you looking for a church family? You're looking to be a part of somebody who understands the Great Commission is for us to reach the world. Well, we're doing it, and maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. As a matter of fact, you can join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m., actually 10:15 a.m., or you can join us online at VineFellowshipNetwork.org. Listen, we're reaching the world together with the VFN Dream Center Church. We'd love to have you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And that makes me think about what you spoke over Isaac, your son. You know, early on, the Lord laid on your heart, you know, a very specific word, you know, for your son. And share us a little bit about that aspect of it.
Well, actually, I have to, I guess, give the credit back to Dr. James Dobson.
Okay.
Who's, some of you may not know, he's years past, a very influential Christian psychologist and focus on the family. And I would listen to him about daily riding on in the car. And he said that when you have a child or a son or a daughter, try to see how they're bent or how their inner workings are. Don't try to make them into what you want them to be, trying to live vicariously through them. Instead, try to help them reach their potential as God has put his mark on them to how they should be.
Right.
So I prayed. I said, Lord, what about Isaac? Okay. What do you mean by that? What's Isaac's bent or what?
Right.
And I watched him as he would deal with the different other boys.
How old was he?
He was probably about 8.
Okay.
And I had a basketball net, and Debbie would make really good cookies. And so we had all these boys who come to our yard, and I'd have a little talk to him a little bit about the Lord, and I'd watch how Isaac. And I saw that he loved fairness. Mm-hmm. And so I got it, I believe from the Holy Spirit, and I said, Isaac loves justice. So at different times, I would speak that. I'd say, Isaac loves justice. And then I'd say it again, Isaac loves justice. Mm-hmm. So at an early age, he decided that he wanted to be an attorney or a lawyer.
Wow, speaking of justice, right?
And so he began to study. My wife would say, hey, you can play just a little bit, then we're going to come do the homework, and then you can play some more after that.
Right.
So he ended up, he was in a Christian school. And I was a little bit religious at the time.
What does that mean?
Religious would mean that I was concerned about how others looked at me in my religion.
Okay.
And I would
fear
be...
Fear a man more than a fear of God?
Yeah, I try to please others, and and sometimes you get this legalistic thing where you put the law even over how you would treat someone else like your son.
Right.
And so he was going to a Christian school, and I wanted him, and he studied so hard. It was East Hill Christian at the time. And then he wanted to go to Washington High School. And his older brother had gone there, and I thought, oh, you know, it's secular. What's he going to learn there? And I had small fear, is he going to match up being at a small Christian school? How's he going to match up at Washington?
Right.
Well, his mother and him won out with me,
right?
You know, prevailed with me to go there. Right. He ended up graduating 4.2.
Wow.
And, you know, and then he went to Florida State, 4.2.
Florida State.
And then he went to Coastal Law School, and he was... what you call, I'm trying to think what it's called now, where he was at the top of his class.
Okay.
And
magna cum laude?
Yeah, it wasn't, I can't think what it's called now.
Okay.
But then he decided he wanted to do criminal.
Valedictorian?
Criminal. It wasn't valedictorian.
Okay.
It's law review.
Okay, oh, okay.
It's law review.
Okay.
And he was offered a really good job, six-figure,
to be
at school, a lawyer.
Didn't y'all take him to Morningstar or something like that?
No, that was another time in his life. That was, that was a good one.
That was powerful.
Confirmation about Isaac loves justice. I'll break off and digress.
We'll come back to it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, with Isaac, he became a good defense attorney. Great. He actually says that when he goes before the jury, he feels the anointing so strong.
Right.
And he says his secret of winning, he wins and he wins and he wins in the courtroom, is hours and hours of preparation, and then with prayer, and then when you're prepared, he's able to present his case. But it was confirmed, let me go back to Isaac Loves Justice,
okay?
He was going to Florida State, and He said, you know, Dad, I want to be in a fraternity, okay? Right. I want to live this whole fraternity life, okay? Right. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, son, are you going to get away from the Lord? You
right.
know? And I think he was, you know, not really going to the church at that time mm-hmm. and going to some of the parties and things. And my wife, we'd been in the Brownsville Revival for many years.
Powerful,
and we'd
yeah.
gone every night. We were prayer team coordinators, and she was tired, somewhat mm-hmm. burnt out.
Right.
In fact, Finney says revival stop when the people get tired.
Right.
And we were a little bit tired. I loved it because, you know, I could hunt all night. I could
right.
I could certainly pray all night.
Right.
But she was getting tired. So I said, we'd heard about these pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. You know, people would come to the revival as a pilgrimage. Well, I hadn't right. done a pilgrimage. I thought, right. Lord, what could I do for Isaac? And Jonathan was away in chiropractic college. Mm-hmm. What could we do? And so I thought, you know, Morningstar had a young band with a bunch of instruments, and they were long hairs, and they played really cool music.
Right.
I thought, I bet Isaac could identify with that.
Uh-huh.
Debbie loves the prophetic. She's read everything on the prophetic, wants me to be involved with the
right.
prophetic,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so I thought, you know, I bet I could bless them both there. And I had said to Debbie, I like this guy named John Paul Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd liked him. And he intrigued me. And I told her, I said, honey, if he's within 200 miles, let's go hear him. It turns out he was the head speaker at this,
wow.
at this conference.
Okay.
So I was looking forward to it.
Uh-huh.
So we went there, and just for one example, I'll make it short.
Tell us the story.
Isaac, mm-hmm. they did this time mm-hmm. where you would have personal ministry
right.
and actually hear a word from the Lord.
Right. And I like the way they do that there because they're under authority.
You're right.
They have teams.
Right.
They're walking through certain biblical principles,
right.
and they're very in fear and trembling, but they deliver that.
Right, what they feel in
yeah.
their heart is from
oh, yeah.
the Lord.
Yeah.
So we went into a little cubicle, mm-hmm. and there was three of us, mm-hmm. and there was three of them. And they were all young, mm-hmm. and the girl in the center was just beautiful.
Right.
And all of a sudden, she began to weep. Mm. Big tears, boo-hooing, crying.
Right.
And she says, oh, Isaac.
Right.
The Lord says you love justice.
Wow.
Yes, that's the first thing she said. And so that
wow.
just opened him wide up. And then they spoke words to each of us. She said, we need you in the body of Christ. Isaac, we need you. The Lord says, come on, son.
Sure.
And so it
yes,
spoke
powerful,
to Isaac.
Yeah.
Right. So then the next thing, we were in these classes trying to somehow initiate or bring about us to hear
learn how
or
to move
see
into prophetic.
Into seeing or hearing
Discerning.
Something from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And some people say, okay, come on now, is that real to learn to do that? Let me tell you, if you're playing the piano for the Lord, didn't you practice a little? Didn't somebody teach you how to do that? Yeah, okay, so
right.
they're trying to get you to engage with hearing.
Right.
And so they said, okay, now break up into groups of five.
Right.
And so Isaac and Debbie flee from me. They
right.
went to their own group. Okay.
Right. Right.
So I'm in a group, and so now you're holding hands, praying, and so we're saying, okay, now see if you, the person next to you, see uh-huh. if you can see something about them or see if you can hear something about them.
Right.
And I'm struggling a little bit. I'm not
right.
sure what I'm seeing or hearing.
Right, right.
And then, okay, we do it again. Uh-huh. The next one is for the person on the right. One was on the left or on the right.
Right.
And so I, by faith, said a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said the next one we're going to do, I'm not going to tell you who this is for.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling this because Isaac said that when that happened to him,
uh-huh.
he saw something very plain, an open vision right in front of him.
Wow.
He saw a tiger. And it was like a holographic tiger, like you'd see from a computer matrix where they draw lines and you can only see the lines of something on a screen.
Right.
But it was a tiger. He was looking at the tiger right in front of him. And then uh-huh. the guy that was speaking said, and whoever or what you're seeing or hearing, it's you. And Isaac said, right then, the tiger turned into 3D, highly colored, a tiger with stripes and orange. He was staring in the face of a tiger.
Wow.
So I want to say Isaac is a tiger. Yeah.
Wow, it's awesome.
Yeah, so he has somewhat of a prophetic gift. He doesn't really walk in it as much as Debbie does.
Right.
But
that's so important. The Lord speaks to us. I mean,
yes.
it's his proceeding voice. Man does not live by bread alone, but by the word that proceeds, which is a continuation.
Right.
My sheep know my voice. It's a continual voice.
Right.
And so often people have an original word.
Right.
You know, God establishes them, but Jehoshaphat says, believe in the Lord, you'll be established. Believe in his prophets and you'll succeed.
Right.
That proceeding word.
Right.
You know,
it's perpetual. I believe we should consult. This is what I believe.
Okay.
You can call me whatever you want. This is what this man believes. That you can consult the Lord in everything you do, all day long, everything you do. You learn to have his witness. It's called walking in the Spirit. And then you just go to ask. And what I hear is, I used to hear, yes, my son, or no, my son.
Right.
But now it's yes or no.
Right.
And then I go with it by faith.
Right.
I know they say be cautious, but right. I say be bold.
Right.
When Peter got that inkling and he heard the Lord, he figured it was him on the water, was he bold? Yeah, the other guys in the boat, right. I think they wish they'd have stepped out.
Right.
All right, so I only got a few more days left.
Right.
Greg, that's all I got. So I want to step out for the Lord. That's why I'm here right now. That's why I wrote the book.
I speak lots of days.
Yeah.
Lots of days. Oh, but well, our time is limited. Yeah. James calls it a vapor.
Yeah. You don't know. You're not promised tomorrow.
It's shorter and shorter as life goes on. You think, my goodness, what am I doing with my time? Help me to focus.
Right. You know? So I say, hear the Lord.
Yeah.
In the book, okay? Yeah. In the theme of it, underlying, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be all preachy, but with each story is, hear the Lord.
Yeah.
Fear the Lord. Mm-hmm. And obey the Lord. Then you're a disciple. You don't have to have your pastor holding your hand.
Right.
Now, you want to honor the pastor. He's just a man, but you want to honor him.
Right.
But you want to be a disciple who walks every day with the Lord. That's what I'm hoping you'll do.
Can you say the three things again? So
hear the Lord. You hear him.
Right.
You fear the Lord. That's an awesome reverence for him.
Yeah.
You want to obey everything that he tells you. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then you do. You hear him, fear him, and obey the Lord. I could show you the scriptures.
Right.
He first spoke it to Moses, but Jesus said the same thing.
Yeah, Jesus says in John chapter 15, he says, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing.
Right.
But if you abide in me and my voice, my word abides in you, you can do anything.
Right.
As a matter of fact, there's a lot of people out there right now, John, that would want to abide with the Lord, but they just need a simple plan to do it. Just really helps out. And so we have a plan for you. As a matter of fact, it's at iabide.org. You can request that simple plan right now, and it'll come to you immediately in the email. And I'll walk you through some simple abiding steps that'll teach you, you know, how to actually abide with him and how to hear his voice. And you're successful when you're hanging out with God and you're listening. He's hanging out with you, but you have to acknowledge his existence and that he's there and he's omnipresent, that he's omnipotent, he knows everything, and he's going to lead you, and he's in love with you, and he wants to walk life out with you. And so you can go to iabide.org and request your simple plan today. That's so powerful, John.
That's good.
Listen, we're going to be right back from this break, but we're going to continue. We get back from the break for this interview with John Newland.
We'll be right back.
Don't miss your chance to get this free book, I Will Fight, 10 Strategies for Your Success, where I share a prophetic encounter God gave me about a coming wealth transfer. And this whole genesis of this book and these strategies is to position you for a coming wealth transfer. It's 10 Strategies for Success. Dealing with your belief, your actions, commitments, giving you plans, giving you strategies. I mean, so many things I can't even talk about, but it's yours for free. Go to vfnkb.com and get your free copy now.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm going to go back to Isaac. I mean, because, you know, here he is, of all the things that he chooses, and you write about this in the book. When he chooses to be an attorney, he wants to be the defense attorney.
Right.
Talk about how you felt about that at first, and then.
Well, I'm a little bit of a prosecutor by nature. Okay?
No. Really?
Yes. Yeah. I'm the guy. I honor you. I can't believe that you were a sheriff. I honor you. I think that's so cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, we need to honor our police.
Yes, we do.
Police. Who are you going to call in the middle of the night?
Right.
Yeah. It's the same way. Bubba, who are you going to call when you're really down and out? You're going to call that preacher.
That's right.
All right, so Isaac, let me come back on train of thought.
Here he's going to choose his profession, he's going to apply.
To be a defense attorney.
Right.
And so, personally, I believe in mercy. I love the concept of mercy. I didn't believe I could be forgiven. That's a whole other story.
I'm here because of mercy.
Yeah, mercy, mercy. Yeah. So I'm a merciful man, but I don't want anybody raping babies.
Right.
I don't want anybody hurting the defenseless, okay?
Right.
So I want to put those guys where they can't hurt.
Right.
Now, Isaac, though, he believes, so three times he's gotten guys that were going for life. Either they walk out of there in shackles going for life, or they walk out free. Three times, he got them off.
So they're
different
arrested,
guys.
They're charged.
Yes.
They're going to go before the judge.
For
and
life.
Isaac's there to represent
He's
them.
He's their attorney.
Okay.
He's their attorney. Okay, he gets them off. I said, Isaac, what if one of them's guilty?
Right.
He said, Dad, don't even go there. I work for God and the Constitution. He said, do you know that 1% in our prisons are innocent? That's 10,000 men and women that are innocent. They need a good attorney. So that's his calling, okay?
Our whole system is based off it's better to let two guilty men get free than to send one innocent man to jail. And the mindset today is like, even with Judge Kavanaugh, they convicted him before anything. And thank God there's justice, because, you know, obviously that was just an attack to prosecute somebody before defense. But when I read about Isaac, I'm thinking like, I think I told Donna, my wife's like, he's our attorney. I won't.
Well, hopefully you're not in trouble.
Oh, yeah, but you never know. You get falsely accused. I mean, the fact that this is the whole thing is that God, literally, Jesus said specifically, if there's something happening in the church, go to them, work it out.
Right.
That doesn't work, take two people. I mean, he was about resolving a matter.
Right.
And then take it before the leadership in the church. So he was always wanting us to resolve it. And sometimes we get mindsets and we need a third person or people. Justice is of God.
Right.
And that, you know, and he says, present the evidence. Don't bring an accusation without evidence. And so that's what attorneys do. I mean, if I want to build a house, I'm going to get a carpenter. You know, if I'm going to go to the moon, I'm going to hire somebody, an engineer.
Right.
But if I'm going to the legal system, I need an attorney that's going to represent my business, personally, whatever it is. And so, you know, a lot of people sit at the defense table, because all my years in law enforcement, I know a lot of people sit over there that they're not guilty. They're just being accused of something.
Right.
So it needs to be appeared before the jury or their peers, and to have somebody like Isaac that's there constitutionally. And then you said he feels the presence of the Lord when he stands there.
Right.
Right.
Well, part of it is also gaining the favor of the judge. Mm-hmm. That means he has to know everything about every case. Right. And so the judge respects that. And you honor the judge.
Right.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So I thought it was pretty cool. You know, both your sons are blessings. You know that John is a blessing and has been one. He came out, I believe, even to the father and son things that we were doing with the Malachi mandate and the father-son camping trip. So listen, this is not over. Make sure you join us on our next program. We're going to continue to hear these amazing stories from this ordinary man, John Newland.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.